Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone that's in the tabernacle today. Enjoy the singing. Amen.
Amen.
All the way from the pastor's wife, Sister Lisa, all the way to Sister Maggie, and Brother Horace Staten, praise God. On the piano, praise God.
Yes.
The piano, give my cues. Well, there's no one who knows how to play it. Well, I can play it, but it won't be in tune, I promise you that. Amen. I hit those keys, but we thank the Lord for those in the house and for what God's doing. Amen. I trust you've had a great week this week. You that are in the tabernacle, you that's watching online, take the letter or whatever it may be. God's good.
All right, God. Okay.
That's right. Even when we're dead, God's good.
Amen.
Even when we forget to pray, God's good. Even when you forget to read the word, God is still good, praise God.
Amen.
We just thank you, amen. We want to talk today about walking in obedience. Remember as a kid growing up, before I get to the scriptures, as a kid growing up, I'm sure everyone that's looking at me in this building today cannot give me the exact number of whippings you got. So neither can I.
Many.
But the purpose of the whippings, I'm not talking about now beating a child, I'm talking about whipping, okay? The purpose of a whipping is to correct you so you would walk in obedience. Amen?
Amen.
Walk in obedience to your father and your mother, earthly father, earthly mother. We would want to talk about walking in obedience with God. We want to come. I've got two particular areas in the book of Mark, but I want to read Mark 16:15 first, if I may. Mark 16:15. Then we'll go back up a few chapters in Mark chapter 6. And let this be the theme of our message today. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a commandment. It's not an option. It's a commandment of God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every. Get that? Every is everyone.
Yeah.
Every creature. Not just the ones that you like. Not just the ones you feel comfortable for. But we are to go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every day that we wake up in the morning, whether you're a preacher or not a preacher, just a lay person, whatever you are, Christian, you are obligated by God to go into your world, whatever it may be, your community, where you live, your town, or whatever. You are obligated by God to go out there and share the gospel of Jesus to somebody.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, you may be going to Walmart to buy groceries, but God will direct you who you need to speak to in Walmart, praise God.
Amen.
You may be going to your job, and God may send someone to you on your job that is having an issue in their life, and it's your responsibility to share a word with them on your job, praise God. Amen?
Amen.
So we're obligated by God to carry this gospel. But we also now want to go to Luke chapter 6. Because sometimes the mission God sends us on is not a bed of roses.
Amen.
You agree with that?
Amen.
Sometimes where God sends us, it's not necessarily smooth sailing, so to speak. Here in Luke chapter 6, and we want to look at verse 45. Before I read verse 45, we want to kind of... Just before this event took place in verse 45, we'll find also that they had experienced They had watched it with their eyes. They had seen the miracle of feeding 5,000 people. 5,000 men had been fed, not counting the women and children. So I'm sure it was well over 10,000 people have been fed, amen, when he fed the 5,000. They've already seen this miracle transpire and take place. So after this miracle transpires and take place, we see here in verse 45, and straightway, means immediately, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. They were reluctant to get into the ship to go to the other side. He immediately constrained them. In other words, I'm not saying he forced them, but hogtied them, so to speak, as we say here in the South. But he said, you need to get in this ship and go to the other side. They didn't want to do that. Has God ever asked you to do something you didn't want to do? In 2019, God had laid in my heart to resign the ministry of where I was at, where I was pastoring. And I know I just discussed it with God. Have you ever argued with God? Mm-hmm. If you say no, you, I think you just told the Lord, Phil, and you need to repent.
That's right.
But I argued with God. We discussed it for several months. Because I didn't want to leave. Things was going great. The church was growing, having great times, and this and that and the other. And finally, around the first part of November of 2019, I said, okay, God, I will resign. I didn't know where he was going to leave me. I didn't know what I was going to do. But I was reluctant to resign. So we had that discussion about resigning. And lo and behold, so when we resigned in the January of 2020, they cried, they boo-hooed. I said, this is a God thing, being in the will of God. And they wanted to stay on for another month, which I did. Mm-hmm. Well, these disciples were reluctant to get in the ship. They didn't want to go to the other side. They didn't want to do what Jesus wanted them to do. And so finally they got in the ship to go to the other side. So the key was they were obedient to what Christ had said. It took a while for God to convince me, but eventually I was obedient to what God wanted me to do, praise God.
Amen.
Had I not been obedient to what God wanted me to do, I wouldn't be standing here this morning in Growing Together Ministry, amen, here in Lewiston, Woodville, North Carolina. It's being obedient to where God is leading you and directing you, praise God. No, it wasn't in their desire, it wasn't in their will to get in the ship to go to the other side. But it was God's will for me to get in the ship and set sail to the other side. So finally he convinced them to get in that boat and let's go to the other side. So God sends us on missions, and sometimes we expect everything's going to be fine, everything's going to be rosy, everything's going to go smooth, and everything's going to go the way it ought to go. But we're going to find in this story that things didn't go quite well in that ship, praise God. But they were in the will of God. And that's the key, is being in the will of God, not your will. My will was to remain at the church I was pastoring. But it wasn't in God's will for that to happen. Amen. And so their will was not to get in this ship, but needless to say, they agreed with what Jesus said. It was the pastor, the shepherd, to get in the ship and go to the other side. So here we find in verse 45, they get in the ship and they're on their way. In verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. That's one of the greatest examples for you and I. If Jesus had to pray, how much more do you and I have to pray?
Amen.
My God. If the Son of God has to pray, how much more important do I or you have to pray unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And he went away to pray. And the Bible goes on in this verse and says, in verse 47, and when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Everything was going fine. Everything was going great. Amen. They're on the sea. They're doing what he wants us to do. Amen. It's getting very late at night. He's up on the mountain praying, and here they are all alone with themselves, sailing to where Jesus said for them to sail. God sends us on missions, as I said, every day to do something for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
In verse 48, and he saw them toiling in ruin, for the wind was contrary unto them about the fourth watch of the night, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., that he cometh unto them walking on the sea and would have passed by them. We got a few people in the tabernacle that fish, including myself. And I've been out on the water, you have too, when the winds would get contrary. You get in a spot and start catching fish, and you're trying to hold that boat in the place, and the wind is trying to blow you to the left and blow you to the right, back or forward or whatever. And you're just trying to keep that boat in one spot so you can catch more fish out of the spot you just caught that fish out of.
Amen.
Contrary. Well, the Bible says the wind was contrary. The wind was trying to prevent them from getting to the other side. The enemy was causing the wind to blow in this situation. Because if God was causing the wind to blow, Jesus would have never rebuked it. Jesus is not going to rebuke what God says do. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The enemy was trying to prevent them from getting to the destination in which Jesus was sending them to. And the wind will blow in your life and my life to prevent us from getting to the destination that God is sending us to do the work that God has called us to do, praise God.
Amen.
And we have the right and authority to rebuke that wind in the name of Jesus, praise God.
Amen.
That we can continue on the destination that God is sending us to do the work that God has called us to do.
Thank you, Jesus.
We will have contrary winds, if you will, hurricane force winds blowing against us in what we're doing for the kingdom of God. And we got to take our stand and take our firm stand. Amen. God is going to work this out. I don't know how I'm going to get through this wind or through this storm. I don't know how I'm going to get through this road. But God's going to work it out. That He'll make a way somehow that I can get through and do what God's called me to do. Praise God.
Amen.
And same thing with you. Glory to God. And so the wind was contrary again. And Jesus was praying, and he even said, Jesus, guess what, is looking down, if you will, and sees everything going on in your life and my life, and see what we're facing, the difficulties of this, that, and the other. And he's always going to make a way that we can get it done, praise God.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
If it takes physical strength, he'll give you the physical strength. Amen. If it takes know-how, if you don't have the know-how, he'll give us the right person that does have the know-how.
Yes.
To get it done, praise God.
Yes.
Amen.
So here we find they're going on this sea. The wind was being contrary. I know some contrary people too, don't you?
Yes.
Now, this sea was doing what it was doing. Jesus came walking, if you will, on the water, on the top of the water.
Yes.
He was walking on their problem.
Thank you. Amen.
Yes.
Jesus was walking on their problem.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus had their problem under his feet. Think about that. We need to allow Jesus to put our problems under his feet, praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
They were under his feet. He was walking on the problem. The problem of their problem was the ship was about to sink. They couldn't manage the sea because the sea was so strong and so ferocious with the winds and this and that and the other. They couldn't manage. They were unable to manage it. But Jesus came walking on their problem.
Amen.
Thank you.
We all have problems that we face and all problems that come to us and we don't know how to. Let's give it to Jesus, praise God. Amen. Let's let Jesus have it and He will take care of it, praise God.
Amen.
They were in the will of God. And Jesus will make sure that the will was carried out. Amen. And when you're in the will of God, I'm in the will of God, and we're doing what God has called us to do, God will make sure that you and I can carry out the will He has put in our minds and hearts to do for His glory.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Whatever obstacle comes our way, He'll remove it. Amen.
Amen.
So He comes walking. In verse 49 it says, but when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw Him and were troubled. And immediately He talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer. It is I.
Amen.
Be not afraid. Now you got to realize, at this time the wind is still being contrary. At this time the ship is still being tossed from one side to the other, back and forth. Amen. There possibly may be water coming in the ship. I don't know. But I know it was a bad situation. Amen.
Amen.
As I've said in the past before, amen, I do a lot of fishing. I stay a lot on the water. I swim like a rock. Right straight to the bottom. I cannot swim, amen. Now, I use respect when I'm on the water. I wear a life preserver. The life preserver goes on, and I've got witnesses in this house that see me do that. A life preserver go on before I get in the boat. And when I get out of the boat, the life preserver comes off, amen. And I have, amen, in cases traveling from one destination to another in a boat, in the truck, forget to take my life preserver off and go down the highway with life preserver on. Anyway.
Yes, Lord.
But that might be a good thing, run in the canal. But anyway, here we find here, the winds are still contrary. Now Jesus is in the boat with them. And what He says, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
Now you're in the middle of a storm and the middle of a situation in your life. Jesus speaks, don't be afraid.
Amen. Amen.
To you or myself.
Amen.
The wind hasn't ceased. The wind's still blowing. There's water coming in the boat. It's up to your knees.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus says, don't be afraid.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When you're going through something and the pastor tells you it's going to be okay, but you're still in the same situation, you haven't changed yet. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus told them, don't be afraid, be of good cheer. It's easy when things is not going your way or my way to frown.
Amen.
And not smile.
Preach it.
Could it be that Jesus said, be of good cheer because all of them had frowns on their face?
They were mad. Oh, no, we're going to die.
But He said, be of good cheer.
Amen.
If we can be of good cheer in the tough times, let me give a testimony, not mine, but somebody years ago. He had his own business. And he got a letter from the IRS. that he owed thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. I know this guy individually. And he went to his pastor in Barton County. And the pastor says, come on in the sanctuary. This was just a weekday on a church service. He went to his pastor. Pastor went in and put a CD on and started praying praise music. We're going to praise the Lord. My friend says, I didn't feel like praising God. I got this little old thousand. They're going to shut my business down. Blah, 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 this, that, the other. I don't want to praise God. They put music on. They started praising God. I mean, I'm not just for 1 minute or it went on for an hour. Just praising God. Praising God and praying. You know, before the week's out, he got a letter in the mail from the IRS. Called, and the letter said, Mr., his name, we made an error. We owe you thousands of dollars.
Wow. Amen.
And he got it in the mail, praise God.
Amen.
But he started out complaining, oh my God, Pastor, what am I going to do, Pastor? I don't know what I'm going to do. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to lose my business. I'm going to lose blah, 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 blah. They got in the ship. He said, be of good cheer. What are you frowning for? What are you crying for? Why are you doing what you're doing for? He says, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Then he goes on and says here, and he went up into them, into the ship.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the wind ceased. Have you invited Jesus in your ship?
Preach. Preach.
Have you invited him to come into your ship that's about to sink? That's filling full of water?
Yes.
That's right, every time it rocks to the left and rocks to the right, more water comes in. Have you invited him in your ship? Once he came in the ship, the Bible says it ceased. The wind ceased when he got into the ship. The wind stopped blowing.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
you. And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, the 5,000 being fed, for their heart was hardened. Have you allowed Satan to harden your heart where you can't believe anymore? They did. They were the disciples that Jesus had put into a ship to go to the other side, but yet their heart was hardened. They were disciples. They had just seen a miracle of two fish feeding 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. They had seen the 12 baskets of fragments taken up after the miracle, and now they're on this ship. On a mission for God in the middle of a storm and thought they were going to die. But Jesus hadn't forgotten them. If you're going through a storm in your life,
preach.
Jesus has not forgotten you.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus.
God sent me to tell you today that Jesus has not forgotten you in your storm.
Amen.
Your spouse might not even know what your storm is. But God does, praise God.
Amen.
Your mom and daddy may not even know what your storm is, but God does, amen.
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 And God sent me to tell you, he's there just inviting in your ship. And he will come and praise God.
Thank you, man.
Amen. So soon as he got in the ship, the wind ceased. But because of the hardness in their heart, they already forgot what the miracle was. Don't forget what all the miracles he's ever done in your life in the past, praise God.
Yes, Lord.
They go on, and I can go on for days and tell you the miracles he's done in my life over the years, praise God. But now's not the time to do that. I'm just saying God is the miracle working God. Amen. He's no respecter of person, and what miracle he's did for me, he'll do it for you, praise God.
Amen.
Twice over, glory to God. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Allow God in your storm. Allow him in your boat that your miracle be to be seized. And remember, he will send you on a mission for him, and it may not be a bed of roses, but God will get you through the storm in Jesus' mighty name. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.